The ACLU has long been regarded as a watchdog group with a long history of fighting what it sees as social injustice. Here in Hawaii, its roots go back to the 1950s, and some say it's more relevant than ever. Others see a group as a hindrance. Joining us today is Josh Wish, who has taken on the job leading the agency through this next chapter. Congratulations, Josh.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Okay, and let's get the elephant out of the room. For listeners who don't know, you used to work for the Attorney General, who is now running for another office.
Yes.
But what made you decide that you wanted to take this job with the ACLU?
Sure. And thanks for having me on to talk about it. What really made me decide that I wanted to put my name in for doing this, and I'm still counting myself as extraordinarily lucky that I get the opportunity, is really just the record of what the ACLU stands for. When you take a look at some of the rights, frankly, that I think so many people in Hawaii and across the country take for granted, you look through that history and you realize how much of it the ACLU was involved in. I mean, things like the right to counsel, the right to privacy, the right to have your Miranda rights read to you. Miranda was an ACLU case. The right to marry whoever you want, regardless of race. Loving versus Virginia. There was a movie made about it recently. That was an ACLU case, especially for important for so many people in Hawaii, including me, who are in marriages that have mixed races. And you take a look at that history, and the fact that what the ACLU has always done is defend people's civil liberties, regardless of partisanship, regardless of whether those stances are popular. And the chance to work with an organization that does something that's so clear to defend the Bill of Rights, something that I think everybody would generally be in favor of, was just something I couldn't pass up. As you know, they've had a tremendous history here in Hawaii ever since they were founded in 1965. Vanessa Chong, the outgoing ED, has done such a tremendous job over the past 30 years building up the local affiliate. I've got big shoes to fill, but it's work that I'm very excited to do.
Now, I know the ACLU original group started out with an immigrant, I think, rights issue. And like you mentioned, here in Hawaii, given our history, that's really important.
No, that is right. When I think you were talking about in the 1920s when the National was founded and what they called the Palmer Raids, which was when the then Attorney General of the United States started just rounding up people who they were suspected of somehow not being loyal and just rounding up and deporting them. And that was one of the things that really kicked off the ACLU. And you do take a look at how that ties into things locally. One example is yesterday, I think California had Korematsu Day. Basically, they recognized Fred Korematsu. And so for anyone who's listening who doesn't know that name off the bat, Fred Korematsu was one of the people who went to court to challenge being put into an internment camp in World War II just for being Japanese. That was a case also that the ACLU was involved with. And when you tie that right back into today, you see how important these issues still are, because that kind of thing ties right back into the travel ban, which is something that impacts nationally. It impacts locally. And it not only, I think, offends local sensibilities and the values of Hawaii, but it offends the Constitution.
Right. And you were working, you know, in the AG's office with the Hawaii versus Trump.
Yes.
Complaint was filed. But a lot of people may not agree with the positions that the ACLU takes.
Yes. No, that's definitely true. And we know that. And that's, once again, one of the things that I do like about the organization is that it takes what it believes are the right positions, regardless of whether or not they're popular. One of the founders of the ACLU, a guy named Roger Baldwin, had said, and I'll see if I can actually get the quote right here, that the only test of our integrity of purpose is our willingness to defend persons with whom we totally disagree. So there may be things that the ACLU doesn't like are happening, but if the person who is trying to exercise those rights has a right to do it, the ACLU will defend them. And one of the ACLU adages is that sooner or later, everybody needs the Bill of Rights.
Now, one recent case involving the homeless camps that we were seeing in Kaka'ako, mm-hmm. The city was under a lot of pressure to deal with that huge encampment of hundreds of people. I think the state lawmaker that got beat up on the streets there, you know, that only just focused everybody's attention about the need to break that up. And you folks filed a complaint on behalf of the homeless, and mm-hmm. some felt that really kind of delayed your reaction and delayed getting things done.
Well, when you take a look at that city case, what that was about in large part was about property rights. And the city, as we alleged, and then court subsequently ordered something that was in large part what we requested, was that the city was just getting rid of people's belongings. Now, when you're talking about someone who does not have a house, does not have an apartment, doesn't have a place to go to live, what might seem like garbage to one person could very much be their property. And just because someone else doesn't recognize the value of that property doesn't mean that the government simply has a right to throw it away. And that's what that was largely about.
Now, you mentioned earlier before the show when you were talking that you sometimes defend people whose opinions you don't necessarily agree with.
Yes. No, that's absolutely true. And the ACLU does have a history of doing that. There was a famous case back in the 70s or 80s, a Skokie case where there was a group of neo-Nazis that wanted to march through a town, and the ACLU defended their right to do it. And at the time, lost a lot of members as a result of that. But that was one of those cases where I think it really showed that regardless of whether something is popular, if someone has a constitutional right, then they'll do that. One recent example, something else that's and let me actually back up and note one other thing. The ACLU not only is a non-governmental group, we don't take any government funds, it's a nonpartisan group, which is something that is very important. And so tying that back in, everyone has probably been reading in the news or listening about this, the Nunes memo that the chair of the House Intelligence Committee in Congress wants to release a Republican-written memo about alleged misdeeds at the FBI. And there are a lot of progressives who don't think that that should be released. And the ACLU's position has been it should be released. But it should also be released at the same time that the Schiff memo, which is written by the minority party, is also released. Put all of that information out. The people have a right to know.
Okay. And then today, your office has released the results of a bail report. Talk about that. What's the importance of that?
Thank you. So just today, it's up on our website, acluhawaii.org. You can take a look at this. We've released what is a preliminary report talking about challenges with the bail practices in Hawaii. So what we're really talking about there are pretrial detainees. So these are people who have not been convicted of a crime. They have not even been tried for the crime for which they've been accused. And yet in Hawaii's jails during the time of our study, about half of the population were pretrial detainees. So people who haven't even been convicted of a crime, but it's also significantly adding to the jail overcrowding problem that we have. And really the main reason that they're there is because they can't afford to get out. The average bail on Oahu is $20,000. And when you take a look at recent studies, I think the Federal Reserve had a study that most people can't afford a $400 unanticipated expense. That's a real problem. And we also know that this kind of thing disproportionately impacts communities of color. And in Hawaii, it disproportionately impacts, and we know this from OHA and UH studies in the past, Native Hawaiians, Pacific Islanders, Micronesians. And that is a real problem from a constitutional perspective.
And we're running out of time, but
sure.
I know there are bills that deal with bail that
yes.
I think the other day the House deferred it, or just the Senate deferred it?
Yes, the Senate deferred it. There is a House bill that is being heard tomorrow. House bill, I believe it is 2221. And that is something that we would certainly urge people to go and testify in favor of. And we're certainly hoping that passes. Regardless of what happens tomorrow, we're going to continue this work because this effort on our part is really a multi-year effort. As you'll see, for anyone who reads the report, we have recommendations for the legislature, for the judiciary. And as the legislature is looking right now at building a new OCCC, looking at bail reform and trying to make sure that we're not just building a new, bigger building, but reducing the population we have for people who don't really need to be there is more important than ever.
Okay. Josh Wish, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks a lot, Catherine.
Josh Wish is the new executive director for the ACLU of Hawaii. He most recently served as special assistant to the Hawaii Attorney General, Doug Chin. The ACLU of Hawaii just released a report on bail practices in the islands. You can find a copy of it on the conversation page at hawaiipublicradio.org.